Sava idam vishvam mogalila. Sri jatyavat yatina sajate smin. Bhuteshu chantahita atmatantra. Sadbhagikam jigriti sadhunesha. Saha. The Supreme Lord. Va. Alternately. Idam. This. Vishvam. Manifested universes. Amogalila. One whose activities are spotless. Srijati creates. Avati Ati maintains and annihilates. Na not. Sajjate is affected by. Asmin in them. Bhuteshu, in all living beings. Cha, also. Antahita, living within. Atmatantra, self-independent. Satvagikam, endowed with all the potencies of his opulences. Jigrati, superficially attached, like smelling the fragrance. Satguna Isha, master of the six senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Isa Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord, whose activities are always spotless, is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. Please repeat, the Lord. Whose activities are always spotless.
Whose activities are always spotless.
Is the master of the six senses.
Is the master of the six senses.
And is fully omnipotent.
And is fully omnipotent.
With six opulences.
With six opulences.
He creates the manifested universes.
He creates the manifested universes.
Maintains them.
Maintains them.
And annihilates them.
And annihilates them.
Without being in the least affected. He is within every living being.
He is within every living being.
And is always independent. Purport. The prime difference between the Lord and the living entities is that the Lord is the creator and the living entities are the created. Here he is called the Amogalila, which indicates that there is nothing lamentable in his creation. Those who create disturbance in his creation are themselves disturbed. He is transcendental to all material afflictions because he is full with all six opulences, namely wealth, power, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation. Thus he is the master of the senses. He creates these manifested universes in order to reclaim the living beings who are within them, suffering threefold miseries, maintains them, and in due course annihilates them without being the least affected by such actions. He is connected with this material creation very superficially, as one smells odour without being connected with the odorous article. Non-godly elements, therefore, can never approach him despite all endeavours. Translation, the Lord, whose activities are always spotless, is the master of the six senses and is fully omnipotent with six opulences. He creates the manifested universes, maintains them, and annihilates them without being in the least affected. He is within every living being and is always independent. Om Gyanatamandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Umalatam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Pachalam Pangam Langa Tekarim Yatripatam Mahambande Shivam Dhinacharanam. Hare Krishna, please bestow your blessings upon this fallen soul by the mercy of the Vaishnavas and Srila Prabhupada, that we can say something beneficial to everyone. So this is a very nice verse. If you just meditate on this verse, we can see that there's so many wonderful qualities of Krishna mentioned here. Ultimately, Krishna has all the most amazing qualities. He has 64 qualities, and he has four qualities which are even super excellent than even all the different Vishnu incarnations, even Ram and Nrisimha and Ram and Dev, etc. And those four super excellent qualities is that he's attracting all living entities eternally through his flute playing, and his beauty is beyond compare. He's always surrounded by loving devotees, and he's always performing super excellent pastimes which are even more amazing than any other pastimes with any other incarnations. So Srila Prabhupada says in one place that one should even divert his attention from meditating on other forms, even other forms of Krishna, other incarnations, and just divert his attention onto Krishna. Because as bhakti yogis coming in this line of disciplic succession, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, then our goal is to go back to Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan. So even we may worship or meditate other incarnations of Krishna, but we can't go back to Goloka Vrindavan by worshipping these different incarnations. We may go to their specific planets, but if we want to go to Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet, we have to worship, meditate, hear about, chant, pray, serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna says, Bhagavad Gita, janma kama cha me divyam, evam yuveti tatvata, chakpa deham puna janma naitimam eti sojana. One who understands in truth the transcendental nature of my birth and activities does not, upon leaving this material body, take birth again in this material world, but attains to my eternal abode, O Arjuna. So here, this chapter is entitled Krishna is the source of all incarnations. There's unlimited incarnations. It says that the incarnations are compared to be like the waves coming into the beach. You know, we see the waves of the beach, they're constantly coming in. There's no end to them. So the incarnations of Krishna are like this. There's millions and billions, unlimited. But Krishna is the source of all incarnations. Etecham sak. Kalapum sam Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam Indra Riva Kalam Lokam Murdi Anti Yoga Yoga. All the above mentioned incarnations in the Vedic literatures are portions and plenary portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the origin of all of them. And all these different incarnations, they appear in different parts of the universe, different planets, to protect the theists and annihilate the atheists. So it's Srila Prabhupada gave this example that you may have one candle, you have one candle and it can light many other candles and they have the same potency, but there's always one, that original candle that lit all the other candles. So Krishna's like that. He's one name for Krishna is, so maybe someone can correct me, but I recall it as Abhigya Svarat, that Krishna is no one is equal to or above Krishna, and he is completely independent. Is that the correct name? Abhigya Svarat? Maybe there's another name that, meaning that he's no one is equal to or above him. Is anyone? Sorry? Asamoda, that's right, yeah. No one is equal to or above Krishna. Abhigya Svarat, he's fully conscious of all living entities and all the material and spiritual creations, and he's completely independent. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Savasa Prabhupamatasavam Prabhatati, that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. So he's not only the cause of all the material universes, but he's the cause of all the spiritual universes as well. He's not only maintaining all the living entities in these material worlds, but also in the spiritual worlds as well. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam agoho bahonam yovidatikaman. Out of all the eternal living entities, there's one supreme eternal living entity, Krishna, who's been maintaining all the necessities of life for all the residents in the material and spiritual universes from time immemorial. See, he's providing all the necessities, all material necessities and all spiritual necessities for all living entities. Even all the different incarnations of Krishna, they're dependent upon Krishna. They're not totally independent. Only Krishna is totally independent. He's the Supreme Master and all others are his servants. Because they're all created by Krishna, even Balaram and all the different incarnations, they're expansions of Krishna's transcendental form. So Srila Prabhupada says this in the first part of the purport. He says the prime difference between the Lord and the living entities is that the Lord is the creator and the living entities are the created. So, or sometimes it's said Krishna is the enjoyer and all other living entities are the enjoyed. They're meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Even Srimati Radharani is for Krishna's enjoyment. But in this material world, no, falsely we think we are the Lord of everything we survey. Especially in Kali Yuga, we have this disease mentality that everything is for my enjoyment. And even so far, that we think... We may even come to the point that we think we are God ourselves. He says that there's so many so-called incarnations of God in Kali Yuga. Apparently, especially if you go to India, I've heard that especially in Bengal, practically on every street corner there's the next incarnation. professing that they are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of all opulences, totally independent. But we see all these gods, they're growing old, they're getting diseased, they're dying, they're affected by lust and greed and anger and envy. Srila Prabhupada said if they are God or an incarnation of God, they should be revealed in the authorized scriptures. Their name, their qualities, their pastimes, their forms, etc. So here we have some, just a few of the amazing qualities of Krishna. All his activities are spotless, completely pure, transcendental, free from all effects of the mundane qualities of the most material nature, free from any effect of lust, greed, anger, envy, etc. Even Krishna is like dancing with the gopis, the unmarried gopi girls. These activities are fully transcendental and pure. A mundane person will think that these activities are affairs of lusty affairs of this mundane world. But that we see, you know, when we read these descriptions, there's no mundane sex life. There's no mundane lust. And it says that even that one who is affected by the lust of this material world, especially in the form of sex desire, can be free from that sex desire if he sincerely desires to hear the pastimes of the Lord, especially these pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. Of course, all pastimes of the Lord are fully purifying and enlightening and enlivening, and all our material desires and different ways in which we are affected by the modes of material nature can be fully purified through hearing the activities and pastimes of the Lord and repeating these activities and preaching these activities. It says in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first chapter, in relationship to the advent of Lord Krishna, this famous verse, Nivritti Tashai Upagiyamana Vavosadat Chotra Manobirama Ka Uttama Sloka Gunaravadat Puman Virajeta Vina Pasugna. The glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the Parampara system, that is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord, except for a butcher or one who is killing his own self? So this glorification of the Lord through hearing and chanting and remembering his pastimes is a bona fide system passed down in the parampara disciplic succession. And it's the best medicine for curing our disease of forgetfulness and lust and so many other bad qualities that we have as conditioned souls. So we hear about Krishna's pastimes, his spotless activities, and because they're totally transcendental and pure, we can actually become purified by contact with these transcendental pastimes. Fully purified, we can actually become pure, unalloyed devotees of the Lord by following this process, this simple process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Hearing his pastimes, his name, his qualities, his forms, etc. We can become completely enlivened and enthused in our devotional service and completely enlightened with transcendental knowledge. But material pastimes, hearing the pastimes of ordinary mundane personalities in this world, is actually very contaminated. Degrades the consciousness, covers our spiritual intelligence, and actually we become more and more affected by lust and greed and anger, etc., by hearing these mundane pastimes. And we see that people in this age of Kali, they're fully polluted by these mundane pastimes in the form of reading novels and newspapers and movies and on the radio, etc. There's so much contamination in this day and age, and so people have completely forgotten their eternal relationship with Krishna. So this is one of his qualities mentioned here. His activities are completely spotless. He is the master of the six senses. So Krishna's he's completely in control of his six senses. We see that practically speaking, all souls in this world, at least in the material world, are subject to the dictates of their senses. Instead of being Goswamis, they're Godas. And even sometimes the great demigods become covered by illusion and subject to the dictates of their senses. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And Lord Brahma, sometimes he was thinking that he was the Lord of the creation. He was thinking, who is this little blue boy, Krishna? I am the Lord. You know? Who does he think he is? And I'll just take away his calves and cowherd boys and hide them, and he'll see that who is the real master. But Krishna, he simply expanded himself into another set of cowherd boys and calves. And when Lord Brahma came back out of his inquisitiveness to see what was going on after a year, he saw that Krishna was still playing with the calves and the cowherd boys. And he was thinking, actually, I'm a real fool. No, Krishna has outwitted me. Yes, he is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he offered many nice prayers and glorification. And sometimes we hear Lord Shiva, sometimes he was bewildered by Krishna in the form of Mohini Murti. He was thinking, this is a beautiful, beautiful woman, and he was chasing Mohini Murti all throughout the universe, completely bewildered by her beauty. But of course, being the great personality that he is, he very quickly came to his senses. It says here that Krishna is fully omnipotent with six opulences. The microphone, the battery's run out. So it says, Aishavasya Simagra Shavya Shayasa Sastriya, that Krishna has all six opulences to an unlimited degree. He has unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited fame, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, and what's the other one? Unlimited wealth. So in this material world, we see many people who have some great wealth or fame or great beauty or strength, etc. Even they may be very renounced, but they don't possess these qualities to an unlimited degree, and ultimately death takes everything away. There's no one who can possess these opulences in full and unlimitedly, ever expandingly and eternally. Only Krishna. So he's called Bhagavan, possesses all opulences to an unlimited degree. It says here that he creates the manifested universes, maintains them and annihilates them without being in the least affected. We hear that, sometimes we hear Lord Brahma is in charge of creation, Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction, Lord Vishnu is in charge of maintenance. But actually, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, they're only the secondary creators and destroyers. They get their power, all their power to create and destroy, and even Vishnu to maintain, by Krishna. Lord Brahma, in the beginning of creation, he found himself in darkness, and he heard the sound, tapa, coming. Was it from Krishna's flute? Right. So he heard the sound tapa, perform austerity. So he understood that he had to perform austerities even to understand how to create the universe and create all the different bodies, the 8,400,000 species, etc. Before that, he had no understanding how to execute his his duty. So actually Krishna is the real maintainer, the real destroyer, and the real creator of all the material and spiritual universes. Of course, the spiritual universes don't get destroyed. And without being the least affected. So Krishna doesn't even have to come to these material universes to create and destroy and maintain them. He has his expansions, his different incarnations for carrying out those purposes. Sometimes the materialistic people, they have a picture of God and they call him Atlas, and he's holding up the globe, holding up the earth, and he's sweating it out to like try and maintain and create and look after this universe. But Krishna is not that type of God. He doesn't even have to personally come to this material universe so that it's all going on. Just by his will, by his desire, all the spiritual and material universes are created and are being maintained, and material universes annihilated, etc., and created again. And then finally it says, he is within every living being. So he's the super soul within all living entities. He's even in the heart of the insect and the bug and the dog and the human being and the demigod. He's accompanying us as the super soul, trying to turn us to come back to our eternal original position of loving devotional service. So he knows all the desires within the hearts of all living entities throughout all the creations. We don't even know our own desires or our own what our own heart is or how this body is functioning, etc. We can't even count the hairs on our head. We have so many imperfections. We are conditioned souls subject to commit mistakes, subject to illusions. We're subject to the illusion of taking this body to be ourself. We have imperfect senses. Now, we may see a mirage in the desert, but and we think it's a body of water, but it's just a mirage. So imperfect senses. We commit mistakes. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, even Gandhi, so-called great spiritual philosopher, politician, he committed the mistake. He was warned not to go to this meeting. He could meet his death, and he didn't listen, and he went, and he was shot dead. And we're subject to cheating. This whole material world is made up of the cheaters and the cheated. But Krishna, he's so amazing that at the same time as being in the spiritual world and totally independent and creating all these universes and not even having to come to these universes to carry it all out, and just he goes on with his super excellent pastimes with the gopis and the cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj in Goloka Vrindavan. At the same time as that, he's expanding himself in different incarnations, like the super soul, manifesting himself in all living beings throughout all the universes. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Savasa Chaham Ridisani Visto, Matasmriti Ganam Apohanam Cha. I'm the super soul in the hearts of all living entities. From me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedas and I am the knower of the Vedas. And then the last quality here, he's always independent. So, Krishna's not dependent upon anyone. Even the gopis, the topmost residents of the spiritual world. Now we read that story where they were thinking, now we have Krishna and our association, and we can enjoy with Krishna, but then in one second he just disappeared from their company. He's completely independent. He's not forced to be in our association or forced to serve us. Everyone else in the creation is a servant. Krishna's the only master. Everyone else is his servant. And as we were stating before, he, by his will, all these universes are created and maintained, but he doesn't have to take part. He's totally independent. He doesn't have to give up his transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world to come down here and maintain, create, and annihilate these material universes. So these are just a few of the wonderful qualities of Krishna. Of course, Krishna has unlimited wonderful qualities, which we can read about in so many amazing verses in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. So as devotees, aspiring devotees, we should be only interested to worship Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, understanding that he's full of unlimited wonderful qualities. He's the most beautiful person. He's performs the most amazing pastimes, and he's like the one, by his mercy and the mercy of his representatives, the spiritual master. They're the only persons who can actually mitigate all our miseries and deliver us from this material existence back home, back to Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada, being his pure representative, being Lord Krishna's pure representative, today is a very special day, his disappearance day. So he's been, as we understand, he's been sent directly by Krishna. We know, we hear that actually Srila Prabhupada was in the spiritual world and Krishna was actually dictating that you should go and go down to this material world and write these books and deliver the conditioned souls in this material world. Srila Prabhupada at first, apparently, so the story goes, he didn't want to go. But Krishna was insisting, no, you should go and write these books. So we understand that Mahabhagavan, like Srila Prabhupada, he's been sent directly by Krishna. He's the acharya for the next 10,000 years. And he's given us all these transcendental literatures, this whole process of devotional service, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This whole process so that we can become fully purified souls and fully understand the transcendental pastimes and qualities and activities of the Lord. Without being Krishna conscious, Srila Prabhupada says at the end of his purport, non-godly elements therefore can never approach him despite all endeavours. In Bhagavatam it says, Matiyena Krishna Paratasvatovam Mitopipajeti Kriharvananam Adanta Gobhya Vishitam Tamisham Punapanaschavata Chavananam. That persons with uncontrolled senses, they're addicted to sense gratification, unrestricted sense gratification. They may make progress towards hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclination to Krishna, or their understanding of Krishna, is never aroused either by their own endeavours, by the help of other materialistic people, or by a combination of both. So it's not possible to understand Krishna, to even come close to understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna or the process of devotional service without taking to this process of bhakti yoga and without a humble heart, humbling oneself at the lotus feet of one's spiritual master. We can't even understand the difference between the body and the soul without this process of devotional service and without the mercy of Krishna and Guru. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, some look on the soul as amazing, some describe the soul as amazing, Some hear about the soul as amazing, and others, even after hearing about the soul, they cannot even understand the soul at all. So many people, even we have the experience, right? We preach to them about the nature of the soul, and the soul is different from the body, the beginning of spiritual understanding. People just can't grasp this basic philosophy, what to speak of this higher knowledge, understanding the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth, activities, etc. So, upon reading these transcendental descriptions, we should become very enlivened to fully practice Krishna consciousness and give Krishna consciousness, share Krishna consciousness with the devotees and the people in general. All the people out there, they're devotees as well, they're just forgotten. And somehow we have to remind them by spreading this Krishna consciousness movement, by giving out these transcendental literatures and giving out the holy name, prasadam. Srila Prabhupada said, if people just read one word, one line in these books, their lives can be changed. It's so powerful, this knowledge. Like we can just meditate on one word, one sentence of this verse. There's so many wonderful descriptions of the Lord. Just, I'll tell you just a couple of Sangirtan stories to finish. I was in Gold Coast and this lady, I was showing her Bhagavad Gita, and she was seemingly showing interest, but then she said, well, I don't know if I can take it, I'm a Christian. And I said, well, okay, well, that's alright. No, if you just want to give a donation, that would be nice. So she pulled out of her wallet like $100, gave a $100 donation. I said, here, you should take the book. And she said, okay. So she took the Bhagavad Gita. We had another man. We were up in North Queensland just a few months ago, travelling with my wife and daughter. And we were at a roadblock, and there was a guy with a stop-go sign. And we had all their books on the windscreen of the van. Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Self-Realization, Krishna book, like that. Just to try and attract people. And he was looking, and he saw the beautiful pictures, and he came over and wanted us to wind down the window. And he said, what are those books? And we handed him a couple of books, and he was really interested, and he gave a donation just there. Took a few books. So in this way, there's so many opportunities that we can share Krishna consciousness, share this wonderful transcendental knowledge with people. Krishna will make all arrangements that we meet many interested people if we just go out with sincere endeavor to preach Krishna consciousness. So does anyone have any questions or comments? Well, by constant practice, Arjuna says to Krishna, no, it's very difficult to control the mind. It's more difficult than controlling the raging wind. Krishna says, possible by constant practice and detachment. So you constantly practice Krishna consciousness and you'll become perfect. And if you practice also preaching Krishna consciousness, you'll become more and more expert in how to deal with people, how to, you know, answer all their questions and defeat all their arguments and convince them that they should take one of these transcendental literatures. Ultimately, it's your purity and your surrender to your spiritual master. If you're really surrendered to your spiritual master, the order of your spiritual master to preach Krishna consciousness, and you have a very, very pure heart, then Krishna, he's the doer. He'll just work through you as a pure instrument and make the most amazing things happen, and you'll attract people, and many people will take interest in or take books like that. So we can think, well, I don't have any good qualities, I don't have any ability to give Krishna consciousness to others, but Krishna can empower us to enliven many people, many conditioned souls. So we just have to be like that, have to be a pure instrument in the hands of our spiritual master in Krishna, and they will do everything to use us as they desire. Some other questions? Yes. Well, we have to be very respectful, even though people out who are not devotees, they may be, you know, engaging in so many horrible, sinful activities. You know, the famous saying in the Bible, hate the sin, not the sinner. So we may hate the sinful activities, but we shouldn't hate the conditioned souls just because they're engaging in sinful activities. We should try and love all conditioned souls and see that they're all part and parcel of Krishna. They all have a chance to take up Krishna consciousness. They all have eternal birthright of being a loving servant of Krishna. So try and be very respectful to people, be very humble in their presence, be very friendly, show interest in them. And even if they're not interested, even if they don't show respect to us, we'd be like ladies and gentlemen and just say, well, thank you for your time, maybe next time, have a nice day, like that. So be very respectful and friendly, even if people don't show any interest at all. Sometimes it's hard to practice because people are so abrasive in Kali Yuga, so rough, and you try to just be friendly and stop people and they don't even say hello, or sometimes they may give some derogatory comment, offensive comment like that. But if the devotees are just, even if, you know, the person offends you, if you just say, that's okay, have a nice day, then, something may trigger in their heart, oh, that person, I was so rude to him, but he was so nice to me, and the next time they meet a devotee, they may, completely change. So, yeah, just always have that humble attitude, and don't think that we're any better than the people out there. Think that, no, just a few days ago we were on the street taking intoxication, gambling, meat eating, etc. So in just a few short moments or days, anyone out there can become a devotee and take up Krishna consciousness. Anyone else have some realization on these points or other questions? Yes, Gandhi. Well, even the material universe is perfectly complete and perfectly created for the purpose. No, basically the material universes have two purposes. One is for the conditioned souls who want to try and lord it over matter and enjoy this material creation. So they're covered. They're thrown down into this material creation and covered by the potency of Maya. And the other purpose of the material creation is that it's set up in such a way that actually the living entities can never be satisfied through material enjoyment. And eventually they become so dissatisfied that they make inquiries. Well, what is my purpose of life? Who am I? Who is God? Where do I go beyond this life? And then Krishna, seeing their sincerity, creates a situation where they come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master and get the opportunity to take up devotional service and get out of this world. So it's perfectly created for these purposes. And we can also say that any problems that we see, especially in the modern day and age in Kali Yuga, they're not created by God, they're created by man. Now, all the crime, all the pollution, all the economic problems, all the social ills in society, even the natural disturbances, the floods and earthquakes, all these things are reactions to the karma, the activities that people are performing, the sinful activities that people are performing. So one in knowledge, he can understand that the miseries of human society, it's just the just dessert for all the human beings that are performing so many sinful activities. Now, like Srila Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, that for the sinful activity of killing billions and billions of animals, especially the cows, then the reaction is, you know, these horrible wars, and so many young men in different countries are sent off to fight in these wars and get slaughtered, just like the animals were slaughtered in the slaughterhouse. So that's the nature of the conditioned soul, is they always want to blame someone else. So, you know, ultimately they, because they're atheists, they think, well, you know, if there is a God, let's blame God. Because he created this universe, so he must be he's the person who should be solving all these problems. So if there's so many problems, then it's his fault. They never look to themselves and actually think that, well, actually, it's my fault, it's our fault, because of the way we're living, the way our exploitative nature, due to our sinful activities. But it's hard for people to understand that, because they're usually they're affected by pride, especially in Kali Yuga. Pauper is proud of his penny. People have practically nothing, spiritually or materially, but they're very proud of whatever little possessions or knowledge they have. A little bit of knowledge is more dangerous than no knowledge at all. So especially these big scientists, philosophers, quite often they're atheistic. They're very proud of their knowledge, and they become very puffed up. So the only way to actually, for them to understand that all these problems are their own problems, created by themselves, is through the purifying process of devotional service. That's the only way to become humble and realize that we're very insignificant, and that we're all conditioned souls, subject to so many faults. And that it's, you know, due to our own desire that we're here in the material world for the first place, because of our wanting to be independent from Krishna. So by taking to devotional service, we can actually develop some humility and understand these things. But without Krishna consciousness, it's not possible. One always wants to point the finger at someone else for his own problems. He doesn't realize when you're pointing your finger at someone else, there's three fingers pointing back at you. Yeah. Is that okay? Okay, so it's pretty late. Sorry we went so late. Finish there. Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.